Video is powerful. I always say that besides face-to-face, video is the closest connection that you can have with someone online. And we all learned that in 2020, when the world all but shut down. Suddenly, we all had to pivot our events to Zoom, our entertainment to streaming, and our favorite creators suddenly became our coworkers through their digital content. And those connections we've made don't seem to be going anywhere. By 2022, online videos will make up more than 82% of all consumer internet traffic, which, according to Cisco, is 15 times higher than it was in 2017. And while short-form content like TikTok and Instagram Reels do seem to be picking up steam, educational long-form content is still an excellent way to solidify your niche and build a relationship with a new audience. Today's guest knows a little something about that. Zaylee Barclay is a video sales and marketing coach and a Thinkific expert for online course creators. She specializes in helping entrepreneurs effectively stand out and make a genuine impact in the digital space. Through educational video content and online courses, she teaches others how to effortlessly create the visual learning experiences they've always dreamed of in order to unlock multiple revenue streams, attract paid opportunities, and connect on a deeper level with their audience. Zaylee is a force. She is so knowledgeable about video and content creation, and she's also one of the nicest people I met in 2021, genuinely. I met Zaylee through the Thinkific Think in Color event, a digital summit she dreamed up and implemented with the help of our mutual course platform, Thinkific. The goal of the event was to elevate creators of color who are often underrepresented in the online business community. My guess is that for 2022, video will continue to reign supreme for me and my brand, and I'm excited to hear what Zaylee has to say about what it'll do for hers. Let's hop in. Thank you, Zaylee Barclay, for being here. I'm so excited to chat with you and for my audience to get to know you.
Of course, Latasha. Listen, I had to do this. I love what you do. I just told you that, but you know, gotta say it again. So I'm happy to be here and I'm so thankful that you invited me here onto your podcast.
Yes, absolutely. It's funny because the show has so far been like a big thank you tour for me because I've actually been inviting people on the show who've helped me either directly or indirectly in some way this year. And how I got introduced to you is through the Think in Color event. So I feel like we have to chat a little bit just about that. Can you talk about what your role was in that? Because that's how I learned about you and got to know you. It was such a cool event to be a part of.
Thank you. And thank you for doing that. You were so amazing on there. Oh my gosh. Listen, Think in Color is really, it started, listen, there's a whole story behind it. What I found, and I'm sure that you've seen that too, just women of color, people of color in the online space, we just don't see them. And when I first started in the online space years ago, over a decade ago, I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me. And I felt like, even though I knew, like, you know, what I wanted to do and what my desires and dreams were, a little bit of permission from seeing someone else that looked like me would have been kind of a boost, right?
Yeah.
So that's where Think in Color, you know, I've always had that feeling and have always shared that along my journey. And a few years ago, I became one of the first Thinkific experts of color, right? So, and even though I didn't really realize it fully at that time, like people would reach out to me, even being on their website, people would reach out to me and be like, oh my gosh, I saw you in this ad or I saw you on this website. And I didn't realize how much permission I was giving people by just being visible in that way, but also being connected to a company that I really loved. I'm very particular about what I endorse. And so, So who better to do it than with a company that actually even helped me grow my own business through online courses, right? Their product, I completely love it. And I feel like it's so intuitive and easy to use and get started. And so I was able to get started and help other people get started. And I feel like we also are so late as people of color to this whole digital age and all of the tech. And I feel like we're so afraid of it. So I brought that whole idea to Thinkific. And then, you know, we decided, well, let's, you know, let's do something with this whole idea, empower people. And so over the years, we've just been doing that. And it's been so amazing to see the results, to see what people do in that space of time. It's been awesome.
Yeah. I agree. It was so fun to be a part of. So, and I agree that that is so important. I was just talking about, I don't know if you've heard the concept of expanders and finding people who, you know, have been in your shoes basically, or who you can look at and say, okay, like she's where I want to be in 5 years, you know, whether she looks like me or she has the same career background as me or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think, you know, representation is really important and in doing that for sure.
Definitely.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you do. So you are a video sales and marketing coach and a Thinkific expert for online course creators. So What does a day in your life look like? What does that mean? What do you really do?
Yeah. You know what? I really embrace that sweet spot between really creating your online course or your masterclass, your workshop, so that you're able to monetize. But we all know that one of the best ways to do that is being on camera, whether you're marketing, whether you're getting that person, you know, to push through your online course. Or, you know, I had sat through so many experiences with, you know, just like no connection to that person. I'm a big connection person. Like, even like, because you've done Thinking Color, like, listen, we are friends. Okay. So I really value connection and just people that I've come across. I'm very, I don't know, particular about that. That means a lot to me. And I feel like when we don't, you know, connect with our students first in the marketing process, that can be really, you know, it's like you're missing a whole loop or part here. Help your people get to know you. The best way to do that is to get on camera. And then through that process of sales, why not maximize that and continue that journey of nurturing? And then when it comes to them buying the product, a lot of people fall flat in this area, right?
Yeah.
They're like, okay, so we got you to, you've made the sale now, and now you can just get a dry product. And I'm not a believer of that either, because I believe in lifetime value, someone spending time with you and actually moving along your process with you and climbing up.
Yep. So, Yeah. I love that you mentioned that too, because I think so often we hear that online courses are passive income, and I'm like, not really,
no.
not really. And not if you're really delivering value. I mean, could you sell somebody, like you said, a really dry product? Sure. But I want my students to have value and to be like raving about me and to be excited.
Yes.
And that requires some interaction, I think, in some way.
It does. Yes. I'm a big believer of that. And I'm so happy to hear you reiterate that, because it's really a powerful thing. Like, a lot of people fall flat there. So their entire process just ends after the sale. And that's not what it should be all about.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get started with video? Because you are a pro. I was telling you this right before we press record. I'm like, oh my gosh, I knew your video was going to look amazing. I just was watching last night your studio. You did like an in-depth studio tour and breakdown, which was so helpful. How did you get started? How are you so knowledgeable about all this video stuff?
And I still feel like I am so not, like, it's so funny, especially even talking to you, like I told you just now, like, you're on camera consistently, you're confident. I love it. So, you know, hearing that from you, I'm like, okay, girl, I'll take that. but I would say, so I first started off in the beauty realm, right? So I started creating content, and I was way ahead of my time. You know, I feel like this is what happened when I would charge brands for my content, because I knew how high my quality was compared to what was out there. And this was, I would say, around 2014 into 2015. Okay. They would laugh. And I'm like, listen, I know what I'm bringing. And I know that because of the quality of my content, I'm able to sell your product. Hello. That's where it really started for me, really wanting to, people started asking, and that's where we got to pay attention to what people want to know. Like, if someone is asking, or multiple people are asking you the same thing over and over, it's like, hey, you know what? I just need to put this into an online course. So that's where that whole journey started of really, growing. And when I first started, I had a ring light and a white wall, right? Which is where I recommend everyone to start. Even within my academy, we go to start, shoot, grow, right? So start with what you have and where you, and that's how I started. So, you know, that was really what pushed me into the video realm, being in the beauty industry. But then I realized that I had a love for helping other people just get confident on camera, especially when I took someone from hiding, no pictures, no nothing, all the way to just enjoying being on camera. That's always a win for me. And we know that that increases your value, you know, what you're able to do as it pertains to your personal brand, people reaching out to you, collaborations. Like if we can't see you, we can't, you know, there's no connection there. So, and we can't pay you.
Yep, so. For sure. Oh, I love that. I started in the beauty world too. That's how I started on YouTube. Yeah. I was just making makeup videos really around the same time, like 2014, 2015, that era.
Wow. And
yeah, it's really funny.
That's so, are cool you, to know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. If you scroll way back on my channel, you'll find some really interesting. Oh my gosh, please don't. It's so embarrassing. But, so are you pretty much self-taught then with video?
Yes, definitely self-taught. Yes, oh gosh, definitely try and test. And, you know, just a testimony to anyone who feels like, listen, I am, and still, like, you heard me at the beginning of this interview, like, hey, I still feel like I don't know everything. Like my partner, he is even way more into tech than I am, which is so crazy because we're always talking about who's team Sony, who's team Canon, like, so, you know, all of that. But it's a mixture of things, because you can have a great camera, but your presence isn't alluring in front of the camera, or, you know, you don't know what to say. And so that's where I really trump. So it's a full package of, it's not only tech. And I want people to really understand that, because you can have the best camera and then you don't know how to command people's attention on camera. So.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. And I was just looking, I don't even know what I was looking up, but I saw this video and I had like 90,000 views and it was a webcam video, you know? And so obviously, of course we want to do, you know, make the highest quality stuff that we can, but also start with what you have, because if you have something valuable to say, if you have a presence, it can be on a webcam, it can be on a cell phone, you know?
Yes,
absolutely. So I asked my audience a little bit about what questions they had when it came to starting on video. And I think there's really three main points I want to ask you about. Mm-hmm. The first you've really kind of been talking about, which is confidence. Yeah. How do you even get the confidence to show up and put yourself out there? Because I'll even admit, from the time that I started back in 2014, 2015, it's a different world now. I feel like the stakes are a little bit higher. You know, people can be a little more judgy these days, yes, I think. Girl. So yeah, you know, back then I was just like, oh, whatever, I'll just throw something up. And it felt pretty risk-free. So what do you say to your clients, to your students about building up that confidence and just getting the courage to show up in the first place?
Yeah, that is a really good question. And you're so right. Times are changing. Like even I made a video the other day where I was sharing about, you know, when you get on camera, there are so many fears, fear of saying the wrong thing, fear of sharing the wrong ideas or being canceled or like there's a lot happening. But I think that it's your approach. So if you approach video content in an open way of saying, listen, I'm ready to learn and I'm going to learn along the way. I don't have to have this thing perfect. And that can even be as far as if I say something wrong, I can get back up here and say, hey guys, we're learning together. You know, there, I said something wrong the other day and I want to take the time to correct that. So it's all about being open and for me tapping into heart space, right? So whenever I tap into heart space, I get to exude whatever it is that I feel today, you know, like, and really share and tell stories. That's what really separates you from everyone else. Or not even only separate, it gives you relatability. Like now I'm like, oh my gosh, Latasha used to be a beauty blogger, girl, hello. So that kind of thing is unique to you and to the people that are interested. So what I like to say is focus on those people, right? Yep. I think that when we start focusing on lots of other things, that's where you get completely confused. It's kind of like a video. Like if you focus on sharing 10 things in that video, you might confuse yourself and your audience. But if you focus on three things, like I love that you just said, listen, I have three things for you today. I'm like, oh gosh, thank you. So, so that means that people are going to get the most value out of this and that we're going to be really focused on accomplishing, sharing some good info on those three things. So focus on your people. That's what I like to say.
I love that. Yeah. I actually almost visualize a person when I'm recording my videos. Like I'll have kind of an ideal client or an ideal viewer in mind that, you know, I see their little pictures from the YouTube comments. I'm like, I am talking to that person, you know, that person is going to take value from this. And there are other people who are like that. If one person is going to find value in it, more than
that's
likely,
where you get those comments. Like, how did you know what I was feeling? Or how did you, right?
Yes. Isn't that funny? Or like this came at the perfect time. Yes. I so needed to hear that. Yeah. I love that advice. Another question, and this is one that, again, I kind of struggle with nowadays too, because things are different, is platforms. Where do you start? Like there's video everywhere now. Everywhere. Whereas back in the day, it was like, okay, if you want to do video, you do YouTube.
Yes.
So if you were starting over, you know, when you work again with your students, what do you recommend to them? Where do they start?
That's a really good question. I'm a believer of long form content that you can chop into other content.
me too. Sorry. Me too.
So, you know, that is my belief, because it lives for so long. Like I know you have videos that people see, that you've probably made 2-3 years ago that people still get value from. Right. So for me, that's what I preach. Like, listen, because you can get into burnout just trying to do everything that everyone is doing or focus on everything that, and it's very easy to fall into that, like, oh my gosh, this platform over there is blowing up and I want to get on it, or I must get on it. Like, I think that it's important for us to realize that sometimes when we see bigger coaches or gurus or influencers doing that, they probably also have a team. So they're not working alone. So when you're first starting, focus on value, focus on serving. And the next thing is also knowing where your audience is, because your audience may not be on YouTube, right? So that is something else. But I believe in long form content. And I'll even say, like, if you look at all these platforms now, they're slowly lengthening the amount of time. Like TikTok has, I think, 3-minute videos now. So they're lengthening. So I'm looking at that because, yes, a short form video, but I also believe in value. Like that long form content that lives on and continues to serve and can be shared and is so good that, you know, people can't deny it. I'm a believer of that. So I would start with YouTube.
Yeah. I agree. I think the connection is different too. Like, cause I've been experimenting with TikTok and I do Instagram stories and things like that, but the connection is so different because you can really get into a topic on YouTube. They can rewind it. They can, you know, really kind of get to know you. Whereas I feel like some of those other platforms are maybe more top of the funnel. They'll get eyeballs on your account, but are they really having that connection with you?
Yes.
I think it's a little bit harder. So what do you do for your business? Are you primarily on YouTube then?
Yes. I would say YouTube is like my main platform that gets me partnerships, that gets me collaborations, that even clients or students. Yes, I would say YouTube is that space for me. Love Instagram. So it's you know, my other, I would say, power platform, but it's I just feel very fleeting. There's too much to do on that app. Yeah. So it's kind of like you have your stories audience, you have your feed audience. Man, how am I serving all of you guys? So, you know, yes, for me, YouTube is definitely it. And I don't even have a huge audience on YouTube. So I just want to also remind people that you don't have to have, you know, a million subscribers in order to run a six-figure business or in order to make an impact or in order to, like, I just had to stick that in there.
Yes. I love that. I agree. I mean, I've been making money indirectly from YouTube for years and years when I had such a small amount of followers, but that was like, I mean, that's my number one course referrer. It's my number one driver for everything is YouTube. Yes. So I totally agree. Love that. You talked a little bit about repurposing, which I'm also a huge fan of. Yes. Starting with that big piece of content and then maybe cutting it up or using that idea for an Instagram story or something like that. Do you have like a process for that, for organizing and repurposing? Do you have any favorite tools for repurposing?
Yes. I would have to say my favorite tool is Descript, because I can pop my video into the script, dissect it, or have someone on the team dissect it, chop it up into content, and then we can start distributing that. So I love even being able to turn something into an audiogram, you know, so that we don't have to probably re-record that, or, you know, I just love the functionality of just being able to also turn that into a blog post. There's so much that you can do inside of the script. And I really like, you can even record directly in there. There's a lot that you can do with it. And so being able to repurpose in that way, like you get a tweet out of it, you can get an Instagram audiogram, you can split it up in so many ways, plus your blog post, plus an email. Like, listen, it can go lots of ways. So that's one of my favorite tools for repurposing for sure.
Yeah, I love it too. And you can get captions for your videos from it. That's what, what we use now. We export the SRT file, which is huge for accessibility. And also just to, like you said, you can use it for blog posts and emails. And I love it. One of my favorite tools as well. How do you, this was a question from my group, is how do you avoid some of the overwhelm that comes along with content? I mean, I know, yes, having a tool helps, but like, do you have any insights in how your brain kind of works when you're planning out a content calendar, or when you're planning out where to repurpose content and things like that? How do you avoid being so overwhelmed by all the things and all the possibilities?
Right. Oh my gosh, girl, that is a real conversation. It's a whole conversation.
Yeah.
But for me, it's really being focused on that long form, on that piece of content. So that main piece of content. But I would also like to say, I really break my year up into campaigns, right? Mm-hmm. So it depends on what we're launching or what's coming out. Like, I like to have a good overview. So that really keeps me focused on what I want to share. How can I really guide that person through the process of being educated and nurtured? I'm a big fan of educational video content, which is, you know, it's so powerful. It's the best marketing ever, right? Yeah. So, and you can never give too much. So thinking about it in campaigns, breaking my year down into campaigns so that we're really intentional. I think that people don't realize that when you're running a YouTube channel for a business, I like to say I'm a business owner with a YouTube channel, that helps me to approach content differently. Yes, I may not get, you know, viral views and all of those things, but once I pull myself away from that concept, you know, it really allows me to focus on who I want to serve instead of wanting to go viral, right? So what's the goal for that piece of content? I like to stay intentional in that way and plan by campaigns. So if I know, like I'll break up my four quarters, and then we're able to figure out top of funnel and, you know, flow in that way so that we know what's going out, how it's going out, when it needs to be done by, and all of that jazz. I don't know if I answered that question, but.
No, you totally did. I mean, I think it's such a big question, and I'm sure like your courses go more in depth too about planning and strategy and all of that. But I think that's a really good look at kind of how you break things up. And you said something too that I want to make sure I ask, because, you know, this is a part of your business, right? Your YouTube is really funneling people over to your courses and all of that. How do you do that in a way that is not super salesy and super pushy? You mentioned not giving away too much good stuff. Can you speak a little bit to that? Because I think that's something people are either afraid they're going to give all their good stuff away and no one's going to want to buy from them, or they go in and just like are like a spam bot and are just like, buy my stuff. How do you find that balance?
And it is a balance. I like to think about it like, if I'm sharing top of funnel content, that's more what and why content. And you could never do like too much what or why content, especially if you understand where your goal is or what you're leading that person to. Then you can create all of this content and keep leading that person probably to a next video. Like, okay, so in the last video, I mentioned XYZ. Make sure you have also your freebie that you're sharing. This way, whether it's in the description or your pin comment or whatever it is, you know, you have content also in a sequence in your emails that is also related to that content. Like, make it feel like they're spending time with you and you put a lot into it. That's definitely something I get all the time. Like, oh my gosh, the value that you give. So you want to make sure that you're giving value, give, 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 and then ask. And that's okay. Yeah. You know? Yep. So
Yeah, I love it. I always say business is really like dating or like making a friend, girl, you know, you're not just gonna walk up to someone and be like, hey, give me this or you know, do this for me. You're going to try to impress them. You're going to try to woo them a little bit. It's the same thing. You know, you want people to like you and see value in you before you're just like, buy my stuff.
Yes, exactly. So it can be as simple as having a free guide when they sign up for it. You know, you have a nurture sequence, you have a sequence that really educates them on whatever it is that you're speaking about. And that's even the power of those sequential videos that we just spoke about, right? Like your next five emails can share those videos. Like really it's a different process. Like I said before, than thinking of it, like, I just want to go viral or hop on the next YouTube trend. It's a bit different in your content creation. Like I said, you won't get like, you know, all of the razzle dazzle that comes along with going viral. But for me, knowing that I'm giving value to people. So value versus viral for me is just more.
I love that. I feel like that should be like a t-shirt or something.
Ooh, value girl, versus don't viral. Say that.
I'm just saying on that. Right. I would buy it. I got a couple questions specifically about short form versus long form. I feel like we kind of covered some of it, but one person did ask, you know, does long form video content have a future in the next 10 years, or will content like Reels and TikToks rule more? Do you have any insights on that? I know we don't have a crystal ball, but what are your thoughts on it?
This is really good. Listen, I would say when movies completely disappear, we still love movies. We still love story. We still love learning. So I think like I'm a bit burnt out on short form content because for me, it has no, like, I really think in a linear fashion. So I'm looking for that loop of, you get what I'm saying? Or that connection of the content. And sometimes we don't necessarily find that because it's just, a lot going on. I don't mind sitting down and really digesting content, but it really depends on, I mean, where we'll be in the future. Yes, our attention spans are a bit shorter, but I do feel like there are some things that we do commit to. Like I would sit down and look at a video podcast for an hour and really indulge, you know, or I would probably do something, you know, and just have it there while I'm doing something but I still feel like it will be relevant because it's just the way that we are. I think we're trying to be wired to really just take in short form content right now. But I feel like in the future, things will even out and level out. Obviously I'm having the argument in my head right now, like, yes, girl, but no, but you know, but I do feel like it's still so essential.
Totally. And to your point, all these platforms are, they're raising the bar. They're, you know, TikTok is 3 minutes. It's they only are. A matter of time before TikTok is 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
Thank you.
Or whatever, you know, so I agree with you. I think, sure, maybe the platforms might change. Maybe YouTube won't be the biggest long-form content platform in the future. Maybe it will be TikTok, but I still think that as long as you know how to produce that long-form content, you can go anywhere. You know, this isn't,
I agree.
You're not getting the success just from luck. There's strategy with it. So if you have strategy on YouTube, you can do strategy somewhere else if that's the case too. And I completely agree with you about movies and TV. I mean, we've been watching the 30 minute TV format for how long? That House of Gucci movie, I heard about it on Twitter was that it was so long. It was like 2.5 hours or something. So, you know, people
you're right.
Watch long stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And now don't quote me on this because I don't know where this platform is or, you know, if they're just quiet right now or not marketing right now. But so recently we had the release of Quibi, which was Quibi, which was supposed to be like little short episodes of, and I haven't heard about them in a while.
Yeah. That came out like when the pandemic first started, right?
Yes.
Yes. I remember that. And then they just kind of melted away. So yeah, it's
that's just a testament to like, yes, I think that when we really think about, this is the thing, I love observing consumer behavior. And I feel like there are particular things that we would sit down and do and things that we just won't sit down and do. If I'm scrolling, TikTok is perfect. Or if I'm scrolling, Instagram is perfect. The, you know, Reels is perfect. But if I really want to make time to digest something, whether I'm learning, right? So it, maybe if I have decided I want to sit down and go through this workshop or a masterclass, and I've dedicated time to that, then that's what I'm going to do. Or if I'm going to sit down and look at a movie, then that's what I'm going to do. Right. So I think it's really behavioral and thinking about, well, what are we doing at this particular time kind of thing.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. I love that. I have a question that I want to ask just from my curiosity. Ooh. So you started in beauty. Like I said, I can relate to that. Was it hard to transition over to that? Like, did you take your audience that way? And I know a lot of people listening started in, you know, they got started in digital because they had a lifestyle blog or whatever the case may be. Would you recommend starting with a new audience, you know, a new account, or did you kind of take some of your existing audience over? I'd love to hear a little bit about that transition.
That's a really good question. You had really good questions, Latasha. <Thank you. laughs> some people transferred over. I did create like a new YouTube channel for sure. I still have my personal Instagram that I use. But I definitely did create like a whole new segment of an audience. Some people did flow over, and some people love you. Like they will, especially because you're on camera, they will follow you with whatever you do. You will be inspiring that person, whatever you do. So, you know, some people did flow over, but I do recommend because your target audience is different at that time, right? So you're looking to attract different people. The content will be different. The conversation will be different. The goal is different. So I do advise to restart. So I definitely restarted on YouTube. Even on YouTube now, I still get beauty questions. So I've now created a little sub channel that I'm testing out where I back to probably sharing, day in the life and that kind of thing. But, you know, definitely, I would say start afresh and mention it, announce it. You never know who's going to follow you over.
Yeah. Great advice. Yeah. I still have a few people who have been
right
with me with you through the whole ride. Beginning. Yeah. It's so fun. It's like, oh my gosh.
It really is.
I feel like we're like BFFs now. So
yes, those are your special people.
Yes. Totally. Awesome. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit more about what you do in your academy, where people can find it, what they can learn from you. Cause like I said, I really feel like you are such a pro for anyone who's just listening and not seeing. Like Zaylee has some amazing video quality. So tell us where we can learn more from you.
I appreciate you, Latasha. Oh my gosh. you can find out more about me at Zaylee Barclay everywhere on the internet. That's XAYLIBARCLAY. And I teach in the Start, Shoot, Grow Video Academy. So that's startshootgrow.com. And that's where I really help people to get confident on camera, start understanding your content strategy as it pertains to video content, and really also creating your product. So whether it's a masterclass or a workshop or an online course, really understanding how you want to serve people, but also showing up all the way through so that your conversions are definitely higher. Okay. I also have a system that I teach for video, which is planning your content and your strategy. And so you can find that over at startshootgrow.com as well.
Amazing. Everything's going to be linked in the show notes. And I think you dropped a freebie too that we'll add into the show notes as well. So we'll make sure you all get that. You have a YouTube channel as well. Seriously, I learned so much just from that one 30-minute YouTube video about your studio. I was like taking notes. Oh my gosh. So much value. Thank you so much for sharing all these gems with us. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I hope to be back here again with you guys sometime.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Online Business Launch Lab show. I also wanted to let you know that the all new onlinebusinesslaunchlab.com website is live. So click the link in the show notes to browse through it. You can learn more about our upcoming program, grab resources for your online business, or meet other creative entrepreneurs who are available for hire. The OBLL Accelerator program is about halfway full and our payment plan is now available. So don't delay in snagging your seat to this 8-week accelerator that will take your business from idea or goal into reality. Lastly, if you have a minute, please do leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts if you're enjoying the show so far. This is a brand new show and I really appreciate your support. Have a great day. I'll talk to you next time.